me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds!
King of Crack!
The Colossus of Clouds! The Colossus of Clouds!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer this week is Felix Reyes in for Eric Ostrowski. Felix will be answering your phone calls. If you have an item, a collectible you want to tell us about, the number is 312-332-3776. We have a great prize this week, actually. We're giving away a box of 2017 Topps Allen and Ginter baseball to one caller. If you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we use that on the show, you get in the drawing. Plus, we have a guest this week. Bill Weiland is a guest with us this week, who has an incredible collection of Mickey Mantle items in the Huggins and Scott auction. Bill Huggins, I've noticed that a lot of the Bill Weiland items have bids already. I was looking at your auction site this last night and this morning. Things have gone up even since last night.
Oh, they've been a lot of bidding. That's one of our busiest first days that I can remember.
Boy, it's really something. For instance, let's see here. Well, there's some items I'm going to do. We're not going to do which ended higher with Vince this week. We're going to do which is higher.
Oh, change it up on me a little bit, huh?
So this is like, this is impossible. I'm going to say it in advance. It'll be impossible, but we'll do that later in the show. But some of the items that are doing so well, I don't want to mention a couple of them because...
speaking of which ended higher, did this tell you I had a guy, I was at the Chantilly show last weekend, and these two guys came up to my booth and said, "We listen to you guys every week, and we're over 50%. You can tell Vince on which end of
iron." You know, I hear about that stuff a lot, too, man. Where people are like trying to, can you top Vince?
I get it all week, too. It's relentless, I tell you.
My wife was saying that she's been right along with Vince. She's probably about even with Vince.
She's a wise person. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, when you think about it, she's listened to almost every show we've ever done. Her mother listens to all our shows, too. So I don't know if she does which ended higher, though.
Well, my mom does, and my mom's over 500 also. So.
Oh, really? Are you over 500? You were at one point.
Don't we want to move the show along here, Tom?
So is that what people do? They trash talk to you?
A little bit,
that
yes.
their batting average is higher than yours.
Yes, I get texts, emails,
your brother
calls.
Doesn't do that, does he?
No, my brother does it the most of anybody.
I can see that happening.
All in fun, though. All in fun.
Yeah. Well, there are some items we can mention. For instance, that 1986 Fleer basketball unopened 36-pack wax box is at $21,250. Nice. Or it was as of this morning. $21,250. Wow. And that's not even close to where it's going to end. If all the people, you know, I feel bad for people that call up and they have 80s baseball stuff that's not too valuable. But the guys who saved the basketball stuff from the mid, late 80s and older, boy, that stuff is incredible. Bill, did you ever talk to the guy that has the sealed case of 86 Fleer? Is that going to be in your next auction?
Well, we're working on that. He said he had some family issues, but I think he's serious about doing it here, so it may be in the next auction.
Wow. You've got some really unusual, different things that you don't see very often. Here's an 1887 N693 Kalamazoo Bats Pittsburgh BBC team card, PSA 4. the highest PSA graded example. That's at $11,000, the bidding on that right now. So who knows with something like that, Bill, when it's a higher graded one than, and they haven't been out in that grade. I mean, you really never know what they're going to end up going for.
No, and well, but an item like that, gosh, honestly, Tom, that it could be graded a 2 or a 3 or whatever, and it would still draw that type of interest. But to be a high grade like that is just almost amazing that it survived 130 years and is still looking like that.
It really is. Before radio, think about it, 1887, that one time I was saying, I wonder if the guy pictured there ever imagined that he'd be mentioned on a radio show in 2017. It's like, no, he wouldn't have, because there was no radio at that time. What was it, in the 1890s? Yeah. I think we found out that it was the first radio was invented. Oh boy, something else. Well, a number here is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call if you have a question on the value of an item. We'll try to give you an estimate of what it might go for in a current auction. And we have a great prize this week, a 2017 Topps Allen and Ginter baseball box. Some guys, I've already had two customers have pulled Aaron Judge mini framed autograph redemptions out of there. And then Bill, one of our regular customers, tweeted a picture. He got a double rip card, number 1 of 15. Roberto Clemente and McCutcheon are on the outside of this.
Wow.
So the question on a rip card, it looks like these double rip cards, a couple different ones, unripped, have sold for about $250. So the question is, do you rip the rip card and see what's inside of it? I saw on YouTube, I think it was a guy from Japan had one, and he had, was it two, I forget who was on the outside, it might have been two Dodgers, but anyway, he ripped it and showed what he got, and he got mini cards. One of them was a Rizzo mini card, and the other one was a Jackie Robinson mini card. Now, those are only in the rip card, so they sell more than typical mini cards, but you know, you have to, when you got $250, I know what you would do.
Well, I had a Griffey and Piazza rip card last year, and they had just gone into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, do I rip it? Do I sell it?
How many seconds before you ripped it?
Less than 10 seconds I ripped it. And it had just a miscellaneous card that wasn't very valuable. But, there's something to be said for the value of ripping it. So, just had to rip it.
It is fun to rip. I ripped one. I think I bought, I never pulled one, but I bought one from a guy a few years ago. And I think I ripped it, and inside, I think it was a mini Ubaldo Jimenez when he wasn't any good anymore. So that was like, yeah, you never know. Sometimes I think there's autographs and some other really good stuff that you can get in there. But
most of the time, it's a booby prize type of thing.
Now, I think we have Bill Weiland on with us. Bill Weiland, are you there?
I am.
Hey, welcome to the show, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've got some items in the Huggins and Scott auction that are off to great bids already. The bidding started yesterday. Have you been following along, or are you just going to find out at the end, or do you like to check that?
I looked last night. Yeah, it looks like the bidding is going pretty well.
Yeah, listen to this, Bill. If you looked last night, I looked last night, and then I looked again this morning when I headed in. Here's a couple of things. Let's see. There was, okay, that 1967 Topps Punch-Outs Mantle PSA 4.5, the highest graded. Uh-huh. It was at 875 last night. It's at 2,700 this morning. So some things, a lot of late night bidding on some of the things. Now, Bill, when did you start collecting, first off, collecting in general, but when did you start your Mickey Mantle collection?
Well, I actually started when I was 10 years old in 1956.
Nice.
The very first mantle I got was the 1956 Topps mantle. In 1957, my father took me on my first airplane trip to Kansas City. I grew up in South Dakota, so, we were in the wasteland, so to speak, and my father took me to Kansas City with a friend to see Mantle play. 1961, we went to Minneapolis to see Mantle play after the Senators moved to Minneapolis. And then in 1964, I went off to college, so I stopped collecting. So from 56 to 64, but then in 1983, I started collecting again when my son was about 12. And we went to, you know, just so many card shows during that period between 83 and 95. And at that point, I set my goal to collect every Mantle card. that was what I tried to do. And, you know, I wasn't able to get there entirely, but what you have for sale now in this auction is basically about 96% of the Mantles between 1951, when he first card came out, and 2000, the first 50 years of Mantle cards. This collection, I was able to get about, you know, 96, 97%. There were a few that, you know, I just weren't able to get. That 1953 Yamakatsu display prize sheet, that was very elusive. The 1959 Yuhu, of course, is always tough. 1961 Topps dice game. You know, those are the items that I wasn't able to get during that you know, during my collecting career. you know, I collected basically until 2014 or so. I retired, had a 41-year legal career, and I basically, upon my retirement, I had two goals. One, I wanted to write what I hope to be the definitive book on Mickey Mantle baseball cards.
So that's when you started your book.
Yeah, it took 2 years to get it going, to get it out. There were a lot of copyright issues. I had to hire, you know, an intellectual property attorney. Topps Company, you know, they're a great company, but they're not the easiest to deal with in terms of issues like this. And but eventually, I was able to get the copyright approvals that I needed. And it, you know, it took a while to get it all put together. And then around last Thanksgiving, excuse me, we were going to press, and a 1952 Topps Mantle sold for $1.132 million. So I had to call up the publisher and say, "Stop the presses! We're going to get this one in there."
Yeah, no kidding.
So it's the only post World War II card to sell for over $1 million was that 52 Topps at the Heritage Auctions. So we were able to get it in, and you know.
Now, Bill Weiland, you're going to be signing copies of your book at the Huggins and Scott booths at the National Sports Collectors Convention this week. Is that correct?
That's right.
What days are you going to be there?
I'll be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I think your booth is 1004. And, you know, I will have copies of my book. I will, you know, sign them for people. I'm hoping to, you know, people will buy the book. I know that you put up a sign at your table to let people know that I'm there and that the book, you know, is available. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But
now, Bill Weiland, you said some of the items of Mantle that you never were able to find. Of the ones that you did find, what would you say are the hardest one or two where you thought, I'm never going to get this one, and then all of a sudden you got it? Like, do you have a story where you're like, oh my gosh, I got it?
Yeah. Well, the Topps Venezuelans were very difficult. There's a run of Topps Venezuelans, 59, 60, 62, 64, 66, 67, 68. And they were extremely hard to come by. you know, eBay wasn't as big as it was, you know, now when I was doing this stuff. And, but there were a couple of card shows. I think one in Milwaukee. I noticed that they had one, so I went there and got that one. I don't know. It was just an effort to try to find where I could get them.
Yeah. Now, I noticed there's a 59 Topps Venezuela PSA 2.5, and it's at $1,900 already. Now, here's this must have been something neat for you, Bill. When these items that they when Huggins and Scott sent your collection to PSA, the things that needed to be graded and or authenticated, how about getting your name on the label, the Bill Weiland collection? That doesn't happen very often.
That was really amazing,
man.
Yeah, and what I'm impressed about? I mean, like my '51 Bowman. You know, I didn't have that good a condition of a card, but when I went, I mean, every show that Mantle was at, you know, particularly in the Midwest, I would go and I would bring him cards to sign, and the '51 Bowman, his rookie card, the autograph came back as a 9.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and there's several nines. If you look in the catalog, you can tell. You know, I mean, there's a couple of tens, I think, or one 10 at least. So that was my way to try to, you know, if I had a card in not that great a condition, but it was a good Mantle card, I would ask Mickey to sign it.
Well, it's time for a short break here, Bill. The number's 312-332-3776. If you have a Mickey Mantle question, Bill will stay on for another segment here with us. Bill Weiland, he wrote the book on Mantle collecting, so get your question in, and we're giving away a great prize this week. We're actually going to be on an hour and a half. We're on until 8:30 today, so get your calls in, 312-332-3776. We're giving away a 2017 Topps Allen and Ginter baseball box. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery. There we go. We got it. Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And we have a guest today. Bill Weiland is with us, who has a monster Mickey Mantle collection up for auction at HugginsandScott.com. You can go check out the items there. HugginsandScott.com. Just look up Mickey Mantle, all the different things, and you'll know it's part of the Bill Weiland collection if it's something that's been graded by PSA, because on the PSA label it says Bill Weiland collection.
That's great.
Which is really, I don't know how many times they've done that, but I bet it's not a lot of times. Bill Huggins, did you talk to PSA about that in advance? How did that come about that they decided to do that?
Well, yeah, I talked to Joe Orlando, the president of PSA, when Bill and I finally decided to do this whole thing, and Joe was all over it. He actually asked for a copy of the book because he wants to be able to, you know, just to research and backdate everything as far as where it all came from. But no, he was very excited about doing that as well. I think it's just a win-win for everybody. The PSA, because they were the ones who got to encapsulate it with that, and for Bill Weiland because his name's on there. For the collector who happens to win each one of these items, those will forever be on the card.
Yeah, think about it. For somebody who wins something, that is it. And yep. It's like, wow, yep. I've got a... This was part of the collection of a guy who wrote the Mickey Mantle
That's
book,
right.
You know,
yep.
on collecting. Yep. That's pretty neat. So, Bill Weiland, some other things... How did you say it took you like 2 years to end up before, from the time you decided to write a book to the time you actually got it published? How long did it actually take?
Well, like I mentioned, I mean, the big issues were the copyright issues, because I'm using images of cards that are copyrighted. So we had to get the permission of the copyright holder, and as I mentioned, Topps I tried to do this, you know, by myself without getting legal counsel, but it just was not feasible to do it that way. So I had to engage an attorney, start that process with Tops, and there were some others that I had to do as well in terms of getting the copyrights. But, you know, the others were not that difficult. In fact, some of the people that I talked to were extremely, you know, happy to have the cards appear in a book, like the Laughlin, the 67 Laughlin World Series. Laughlin had passed away, and I had to deal, you know, got with his son, and, you know, his son said, well, you know, maybe we can work something out here. And I said, well, you know, how could we work this out? You know, and of course they were, you know, they wanted a signed copy of the book, which was easy enough to do. So as soon as the book came out, I sent them a signed copy. We were able to use their copyright, with that arrangement. And there were a few others, but, you know, it just took quite a while. And then of course, you know, as we're moving forward, all, you know, the Mantle cards are, in my opinion, the hottest cards, you know, in the modern market. And, you know, there was a constant, like I mentioned, one about Thanksgiving, but, you know, there were always updates to do because, you know, these cards are just selling all the time. And so we had to, you know, constantly update the thing. Because when it came out, I wanted it, you know, to be as up to date as possible and to cover as many cards and as many auctions as I could squeeze into the book. But like I said, eventually, you know, after we got that Thanksgiving business taken care of in terms of the 1.132 million card, you know, then the thing came out. I think the official publication date is like in December of last year, but I didn't actually get copies until January. In fact, I had a great 1-2 January month. I got on the 10th, I got my copies of the book, and on the 11th, my fifth grandchild was born.
Wow.
Nice.
You know, a nice bang bang.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and speaking of grandchildren, I mean, this, I should have mentioned this the very first thing. Today is my grandson Adler's 9th birthday.
Oh, well, congratulations. Wow.
Yeah, and he'll be coming over a little later today, and we're going to, you know, have a lot of things going for him today because, you know, 9, that's pretty big. So.
Yeah, boy. Now, you used to take your son with you to the shows. I think it's neat that you got, I guess, the majority of the cards that you got signed, you got it yourself at a show by Mickey Mantle. And yeah. We had a call last week, actually, from a listener who had a Frank Thomas no name on front card. And he said he sees Frank Thomas and was debating that some people think it defaces the card. I've always thought it was neat. One of the favorite cards I have in my collection is a Charles Barkley 86 Fleer rookie that he signed, but some people don't want him that way. When were you ever thinking, well, should I actually get this done, or you just wanted to do it because you thought it'd be neat to have him sign some cards?
Well, like I said, I thought if I had him sign some of my cards that were not in the best condition, they would increase the value of the cards, and, you know, the 51 Bowman is the best example of that.
Yeah. That's at $8,400 right now, by the way, in the bidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
But in the book, I have a nice picture of me shaking hands with Mick that my son took at one of the shows, at the Clarendon Hotel show in Harvey. And I think, you know, that was, and I would always, you know, try to get pictures of Mantle sitting there signing stuff. And what was really neat about the book was that, I, you know, we needed to have, one of the things that Topps insisted on is that we have the permission of the Mantle estate. And that was not really necessary legally, but I researched that. I came up with this lawyer, Roy True, down in Dallas, who was the co-executor of Mantle's estate, and I just called him out of the blue. My name is Bill Weiland. I'm writing a book on Mantle cars. I need the permission of the Mantle estate. And he hooked me up with Danny and David Mantle. I FedExed a copy of the book to them. They absolutely loved it.
Right.
Of course, they FedExed it to their, their copyright attorney in New York. So my book's going around the country.
Yeah.
But they eventually signed off on it, and it was just a process that we had to go through. But the Mantle brothers, the two surviving Mantle sons, they liked the book so much that they agreed to do the forewords to the book.
Mm.
And so I have a foreword by Danny and by David in the book that and like I said, they were really, in fact, the interesting thing here was there were cards that they hadn't even seen in the book.
Well, that's one thing I was going to ask you, Bill Weiland, when you were going to the shows and you'd have Mickey Mantle sign a card, did you ever have a card where he was like, wow, I haven't signed many of these, or, oh, I've never seen this, or I've never signed one of those before?
No, I mean, I would have him sign sort of the main, the mainstream cards. I was still in the process. Like I said, there were those three that I just looked and looked and looked and couldn't find them anywhere.
Bill, it would have been interesting if you'd have got him to sign, say, one of the Stallmeyers or something like that, that could have been the only one he ever signed or something like that.
Yeah, no, I think having him sign the Stallmeyers would have been a good idea.
I wouldn't think there's a whole lot of the Red Heart Mantles that are signed, actually. There's something about that card. It's a Red Heart dog food card from 1954. I really like that card, front and back. And you've got a 9 auto on a 54 Red Heart Mantle. You wouldn't think he could have signed a whole lot of those.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
No.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. Yeah, that's one of those 9 again, those auto 9.
Yeah, they're beautiful, beautiful signatures on them. Was he, did you ever talk to Mickey when you, or was he just kind of, you were just another guy and he'd sign it, thanks, and move along?
Well, there's always a lot of people there trying to get the signatures and stuff. But, he would talk and I would just tell him, I told him about my trip, to see him when I was a youngster, how I started collecting. I mean, he was very, interested in that. And, I just found him to be so personable and, trying to, if he wanted me to put some, I suppose if I had said, to Bill on the card or something, he would have done that. Luckily, I didn't do that. But I don't know. It was just so nice to see him. And I have. I'm really hoping that Danny's at the National, because I have some photos that I took, that didn't go in the book, but I have photos of, me shaking hands with Mick and Mick sitting at the table signing and stuff like that I'm sure he's never seen before.
Yeah, so you're going to bring them and have them there to show him if you see him there, huh?
Yeah. I've reached out to him. I haven't heard back. I'm hoping he can come and maybe even sit at our table and maybe sign some copies. I don't know. It'd be great if he would do that. But
oh, yeah.
I just haven't, I've reached out to him, but, there's probably a lot of people trying to get in touch with him.
Now, Bill Huggins, do you want to let everybody know, we're talking about the National Sports Collectors Convention. Bill Huggins will be there with a group from Huggins and Scott Auctions. And Bill, the days you're going to be there, the hours, and what your setup is going to be, and how Bill Weiland will be at your booth also.
Yeah, no, we're going to be there. Gosh, we'll be there Tuesday setting up. I think the show begins Wednesday afternoon and runs through Sunday around 4 o'clock, and we'll be there the full time with our crew, and we'll have, we just pulled them last 2 days, hundreds and hundreds of items on display that people can play touchy-feely with, as far as to see them in person rather than on a computer screen. And it goes a long ways toward people wanting to own them. But we have 8 6-foot showcases that'll be full of stuff for people to view and bid on as well. And then Bill is going to be set up with his books and talking to people about his Mickey Mantle stuff on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, roughly from about 10 to 6 each day.
So think about it. If anybody's going to be at the National and you're thinking about bidding on one of the Bill Weiland collection Mickey Mantle cards, go to the National and look up the Huggins and Scott booth. And if they have a question on any one of the cards that is in there, Bill Weiland will be there. Yep. And he can find out. Bill, you'll be able to tell him. Most of you remember when you got it and how you got it and everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's unbelievably great. That's fantastic. Well, Bill Weiland, thanks a ton for being on with us this week.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good luck at the show. Hope you sign a couple million books there. Do you think your hand could handle that? A couple million signatures?
Oh, yeah. I didn't. I'm not going to be bringing a couple of million. But, I'll be signing all what I got.
All right. Very good. Thanks for coming on with us. It's time for a short break now. The number is 312-332-3776. We're actually on longer today. We're on till 8:30. We have an extra half hour, so you can give us a call with a question on the value of an item. And we're giving away a 2017 Topps Allen and Ginter baseball box. It's over a $100 box, and these boxes are on fire. 2017 Topps, any Topps baseball boxes are just on fire this year. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. Normally, we're on from 7 to 8 every Saturday morning. We have an extra half hour today, so we're on till 8:30. So you have plenty of time to give us a call, 312-332-3776. If you have a question about the value of an item, you'd like to know how much it's worth, and you were given away this prize. These boxes are so hot. 2017 Topps Allen and Ginter baseball. Had two different guys pulled Aaron Judge mini framed autograph redemptions. Those are selling, it looks like, $3,350. Another customer pulled a mini, or it's a double rip card, numbered to 15 with your guy, Roberto Clemente, on one of the sides. Those are selling, it looks like, the double rip cards, about $250. It's a great product, fun product. You never know what you're going to get out of it. I think, I haven't seen one yet, and I had more than one case in, but I think once in a while you get a box where they're all glossy.
Oh,
every
cool.
card in there too.
Really, so the whole
yeah, like all the packs, all the cards in the box. So it's an interesting product. Give us a call, 312-332-3776, if you have something you think might be good in a Huggins and Scott auction, and we'll let you know if it is. And Superman Todd's been waiting online.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Boy, Superman, we just were watching, my wife and I were watching Superman versus Batman. That was one of the worst movies, Superman movies I've ever seen in my life. So what? I don't even know, why did Superman and Batman not like each other all of a sudden? I didn't get it. I think I dozed off through part of it. But I thought about you, Superman. I thought Superman could have put together a better movie than this.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Just got back in town. We went up to Door County on vacation, and I was going some little antique stores and things like that. I picked up two different store model bats, one Ted Williams, one Mickey Mantle. I paid $30 a piece for them. They're in pretty decent shape.
So those are full-size bats then, huh? Bill Huggins, you ever run store model bats, or do they have to be older than Mantle and Williams, or what do the value of those do?
Oh, we've run those before, Mantle, Williams, DiMaggio's. Depending on what year it is and the demand, the Mantle Williams, they still sell for, and condition, $50 to $200 a piece, you know, unless you've got a really tough one. But the store model bats, you know, they're very popular, very collectible, and very affordable.
Yeah, it's always a cool item. Did I tell you, Vince, I think I didn't say this on the show yet. I got an email from a guy. We were talking about this before the show. Sometimes it blurs in my mind. I got this email from Greg. Dear sir, he called me. I'm not often called sir.
I never heard that.
A relative who is a listener gave me your name. So it's good to hear a communication in the family. Yes. And the now I hope the relative said, and why haven't you been listening? But we'll move on from that. In 1936, my father sent away for this team autograph of the New York Yankees. The story behind these is quite humorous. At any rate, I was... It kind of went on. I wanted to hear more of the story. At any rate, I was interested in what something like this might be valued at. My father was 16 at the time, and he later put it away in a trust as Greg was the only child who loved baseball. So, Bill Huggins, this had Lou Gehrig was on there, and Joe DiMaggio. I guess it would have been a first-year DiMaggio signature. All on one sheet of paper. There might have been 20 signatures on it. Have you ever run a group like that that Gehrig was on, where just on a sheet of paper with multiple Yankees from a team?
Oh yeah, we've run quite a number of those. They were very common, very easy to do back then because there really wasn't a whole lot of other stuff to put them on. 16 by 20s weren't around and all that type of stuff. So no, they're called team sheets. And they would pass them around the locker room, and guys would just sign them straight down the road, you know, down the paper. And depending on how many you've got, a lot of times the value is determined by are they spaced apart. Sometimes when guys would sign, they'd overlap their name onto another player. And sometimes if you get a lesser named player that overlapped his name onto a DiMaggio or a Gehrig, it can make it less valuable.
I think there was a, if I remember right on this, and I've got to get permission from him to tweet a picture. I will if he gives me permission. But I think Red Ruffing maybe overlapped the G on the Gehrig just at the end of the G. But here's one thing I noticed, you know, that all the signatures were pretty close to the same size. So the Lou Gehrig was actually a little bigger than a typical Lou Gehrig signature. Is that something you happen to remember seeing or you know, in the past?
Yeah. I'll tell you, Tom, that the company Topps and the other companies that produce cards, they buy a lot of those team sheets and stuff like that and signed index card collections from our auction and ended up putting them in their product.
Yeah, put them in as a cut signature card in the packs. Yeah. Those make great cards.
Yep.
Like it might be a one of one Lou Gehrig cut signature. They have a, you know, action photo of Gehrig on the card and they serial number. That's great stuff when they do something like that.
Did he have the whole roster on that 36?
It looked like he was. It had to have been at least 20. It was. Well, it was about 4:30 in the morning when I was checking it this morning, so I didn't have time to do a lot of it. But I thought it was cool.
Looking at the roster, Bill Dickey.
Bill Dickey was on it. Red Ruffing.
Tony Lazzeri was on that team.
I didn't notice Lazzeri. Now, does it show DiMaggio that year?
DiMaggio was on the team, I think, his rookie year.
Now Bill Huggins is an early DiMaggio signature, like from 36, worth more than one that he signed something in 1990?
Oh, absolutely. And you could tell his signature was very pointed and very sharp back then, whereas his signature got very lazy and loopy toward the end of his life.
Yeah, he was signing and a lot early, there in the 90s, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Those early signatures of DiMaggio when he was with either the San Francisco Seals or his early days with the Yankees, where I think somewhere in the, well, maybe after the war or something, and in the early 50s his or late 40s, his signature kind of changed. And then it really changed again when he started doing card shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to sign it faster to keep the line moving.
Right, yeah, right. Now, so this would definitely be something that you guys would run into Huggins and Scott. Actually, you figure it'd probably break a couple grand maybe if they're all authentic.
Easily, depending on the strength of the signatures, you know, how bold they still are.
Yeah, it looked from the picture, it looked like very bold. It looked like it was in good shape. And like I told them, you know, they'd have to be authenticated. But if they're authentic, that would be a great item to run. So we'll see if it ends up. That might end up in the October Huggins and Scott auction. Now, don't forget, go to HugginsandScott.com right now. Bidding has already begun. On the July-August Huggins and Scott auction, we'll be mixing in some of the prices that the bidding is up to, and we'll do, instead of which ended higher, we'll do a which is higher, but we're not going to do it yet. I'm going to make you sweat, Vince. Make you wait a little
while. Can't wait. The anticipation is killing me.
Eddie from Lake Zurich has been waiting online here a long time, so let's get Eddie on here. What's up, Eddie?
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I have a Jake Berger, the first-round pick from the White Sox this year, signed ball, inscribed 2017 first-round pick.
How'd you get that so fast?
Well, I was at the White Sox game a couple weeks ago. They were playing the Yankees, and before the game, they do interviews of a couple guys, and he happened to be the one interviewing. So after the interview, he just walked off, and I'm just like, hey, do you mind signing a ball? And he was really cool about it, signed for a couple other people, too. And I got him to inscribe that. I think it was the day he was taking batting practice at Guaranteed Rate. So that was cool. And
that's neat. A pretty good start. Now, if he turns out to be an all-star player and you've got such an early signature of him, that's going to be a great ball to have. The value of it right now even would probably be, I would think, maybe even a couple hundred dollars because it's such an early thing. But I would definitely hang on to that and hope that Jake Berger turns into one of the key cogs in this White Sox rebuild, which is really, they're putting the potential lineup for the White Sox in a couple years. It's going to be the excitement potential is incredible with the talent that they've put together. You never know, will talented guys be able to hit major league pitching? Like a guy like Jorge Soler had all the power and all the potential and didn't, and then a guy like Chris Bryant, he just went into it like he was still in college and started hitting right off the bat.
Well, if Moncada's a five-tool talent like they think he can be, that's really going to provide at the foundation of that team.
So, I love the advantage, like Ian Happ's a switch hitter, that Moncada's a switch hitter, can fly, and he has pop.
Yep.
You would think that's he's ahead of the game by being a switch hitter and all, everything else.
And he's got the personality. He's got a little bit of a, personality
he's
there,
confident.
Too.
So, you can see that, so it'll be interesting to see how it does. But and then Jake Berger looks like he's going to be a hitter, so we'll see what happens with him. But I think the value potential is definitely there. Okay, we've got Bill from Lake Zurich on the line. What do you have, Bill?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's new?
Good. Hey, so I collected back in the day, haven't been to any shows or collected anything in quite some time, and I was just going through my stuff because I heard that national show was coming here, and I forgot I had a check that I had bought at a show 20, 25 years ago signed by Vince Lombardi when he was president of the Packers, and the check is actually made out to Emlyn Tunnell, the Hall of Fame, secondary guy who passed away like in his early 30s. So it's actually, from what I remember, one of the more sought after Hall of Fame autographs. So he signed it on the back of the check, and Lombardi, of course, signed it on the front of the check.
Now that's pretty cool. Now typically a Lombardi check might go $600 to a grand or so for a Lombardi check, but with that on the back and made out to him, Bill Huggins, you think that helps the value of that?
Oh, sure. It makes it a lot more unique, that's for sure. And what it would sell for, gosh, I don't know that there's ever been an exact one sold like that. So it would be an interesting item to auction, for sure.
That's usually a good thing.
Yeah.
If you ever decide you want to send it to a Huggins and Scott auction, Bill, bring it into Triple Crown in Naperville, and we'll send it out and see what happens.
Yeah, well, I may bring it this weekend. Hey, if you have time, I got one other thing that I found when I saw through this stuff. One of the last things I ever bought was a case of the 1997 Upper Deck Legend football card.
Ooh.
And I bought it because I collected the old football guys. And these were like the first autograph cards I got.
Yeah,
at the time.
Those are doing well.
Okay, so are they pretty hot? So I've got about 40 of the autographs. And the one that to me would seem like the most valuable is the Johnny United.
Yeah, you pulled a Vince Clemente and you immediately opened all the boxes. You didn't save any unopened boxes. Is that correct, Bill?
No, I don't have any unopened ones.
Okay, but those autographs are very good. That would be Bill Huggins. That would be some money in a Huggins and Scott auction. Those 97 Legends autograph cards, that Unitas by itself is a good card. Don't you think that'd be an excellent lot for you, Bill?
Oh, 100%, yes.
Yeah, that would be, if you're sending in the Lombardi, send in the autographs anytime, maybe wait a week or so till the end. Is it okay to send you guys stuff this week with everybody gone, or should we wait a week or so to start sending stuff in?
Oh, no, not everybody will be gone. They're still there. The guys have already begun writing the November catalog.
Okay, so Chris and the receiving guys will be there taking stuff in this week still.
Yep, Ryan okay. will be there, too.
Yeah, very good. So, well, boy, that's some neat stuff, Bill. Why did you got to get back into collecting.
Well, you know, the glut in the early 90s killed it for me. So we'll see if I can get back in it.
Yeah, the check that you get it for selling this stuff might get you back interested.
it is, but, you know, I still remember buying, like, 86 Lear basketball box for $6 and I don't think you can buy boxes of new stuff for $6 anymore.
You can't buy 86 Fleer basketball boxes for that. That's for sure. There's one right now in the Huggins and Scott auction that's at $21,250. So you ripped that one open, too. You didn't save that box, Bill?
I did. No. I ripped it open. I got I still remember because I got the complete set.
Nice.
That's about 20 doubles. I know I got, like, the Patrick Ewing double, but...
Did you sell those already?
What's that?
Did you sell those already, or do you still have those?
I don't know. I have to look through. I haven't come across that set yet. But
boy, so you know, might have an 86 Fleer mint basketball set sitting there that you're like, yeah, I think I might have that.
Yeah.
Come on, Bill. You're sitting on some money there.
I gotta look through that, see what I'm going to do. But
all right, very good.
Maybe I'll bring some of the stuff. Maybe I'll bring some of the stuff by the show this weekend if you guys are going to be there.
Okay, yeah, Huggins and Scott will be there, and it's Wednesday through Sunday you'll be there, right, Bill, where it's open to the public?
Bill Huggins? Yeah, absolutely. We'll be there all week.
All right, very good. Okay, next on the line we have Tony from Chicago. Thanks for waiting. Tony, what do you have?
Hey, how you doing, guys? First, hey, you mind if I give a plug? We got a corporate booth there for the Baseball Card King at the National this weekend.
Okay.
644.
Yeah, well, I guess you just did. We're not going to hit the mute button on that one, are we? Oh, we'll let that plug go through. Mike from Palos Heights is on the line. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have an unusual item. It's dated October 16th, 1927, and it has Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig photographed with two teams, the Omaha Prince and the Brown Park Merchants. With the souvenir program, with the photo, all in a matted frame in excellent condition.
So it's dated on the back. So this, as far as you know, this is a type one photo that was printed at the time.
Correct. Although it's what I mean by dated is the program is dated October 16th, 1927. And it has a description where Ruth and Gehrig are playing with each team for the weekend. And what makes it most interesting, in my opinion, is that Lou Gehrig's in a uniform that says the Larrups Lose.
Larrup and Lose.
And Babe is in the uniform that says the Bustin' Babe.
Yeah, right. They did it. They toured in the off season and I don't know, they must have made some extra money and figured we'll still keep playing baseball. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's pretty neat. Now, Bill Huggins, have you ever run in a type one photo with a program from one of those games? The program from one of those games might be good.
Yeah, no, that's they call that the barnstorming tours that that Babe and Lou Gehrig used to do, and they were very popular. They went to lots of different areas and did these things and played against some of the local industrial league teams from the areas that they would visit. And I think we've sold that Larrup and Lou's and Busted Babe. I've seen that photo numerous times, and actually, the photo you'll see has two signatures on it if it was really signed, because there was the only copies of it were copies of the one they signed, and then sometimes people would actually get it re-signed in reality rather than just photocopies, and those things have sold for I think upwards of $10,000
if they're actually signed by the two of them.
Yes. And the program, I don't know that I've sold too many programs from the barnstorming tours, but they, I would think, in nice shape, if they're, you know, pretty clean and in all held together, they could be $1,000 or more, couple thousand possibly, depending on how scarce they are.
Yeah, neat stuff, Mike. Okay, well, it's time for a short break. Now, we normally our show would be ending here at 8 o'clock, but we're on an extra half hour today, so you can give us a call at 312-332-3776. We're on until 8:30 if you have a question about the value of a collectible, if you have something you think might be able to go in a Huggins and Scott auction, and we're giving away a box of 2017 Topps Allen and Ginter baseball, which is absolutely on fire. Vince will do the drawing at the end of the show, so hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. Normally, we're on 7 to 8 every Saturday morning. We have an extra half hour today. We're on until 8:30, so you can give us a call, 312-332-3776. If you have an item you think might have value, it could be sports, non-sports, pop culture, comic books, whatever. Give us a call, and if it, you think it might be worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction, we'll let you know an estimate of what we think it might go for if it's worth putting into an auction. And now, normally, we would be doing a Which Ended Higher, okay? But since there's an auction going right now, it's going to be Which Is Higher this week, okay? So this week, we're going to give you some items, three different items, and they could end anywhere. This is just bidding only started yesterday, and it goes till August 3rd. So we're asking the impossible, but it's going to be fun anyway, so we're going to do it. The first, and they do all have bids, okay, the ones that were mentioned.
And as of right now, did you update them?
I did this morning, okay. Yes.
Gotcha.
Joe Namath, okay. Rookie card original type 1 photo by Bob Olin. That's the first item.
Okay.
And the second item, 1959 Topps baseball complete set, 567 PSA graded, number 27 on the PSA registry with a 7.749 average set rating. So like the Mickey Mantle's a PSA 8, the average is almost an 8, so it's a really nice set. Now here's something I didn't even find till yesterday. I tweeted it yesterday. This is really cool. 1916 to 1926 World Series photo album, 277 original snapshots. Some of them are of Ruth Gehrig, a 1919 Joe Jackson photo. Wow. Okay, that's the third auction lot. So I'm going to give you a hint. These are all ranging from $3,500 to $5,200. Okay.
Right. So I'm going to say I got to go with the 1954 Topps baseball set. That's my choice.
59 Topps baseball set.
Yes, 59. My 4 looks like a 9 here.
Okay, and you would be?
All right,
correct.
You won.
There we go. All right. You won. It's at $5,200, the 1959 Topps baseball set. World Series photo album, 277 original photos. Last night it was at $3,100. It's already at $4,400. Wow. That is really sweet. Neat, Bill. I've never seen anything like that before.
No, I hadn't either. And then the neat part about it is, as you get toward the back of the album, the front of the album, the first 5 or 6 years are glued in, but the rest of them, the guy got smart and he put them in the photo corners thing so you could pop them out if you wanted to.
Oh, that's nice. Yes. And then the third item in the group, the Joe Namath rookie card original photo, is at $3,500. So it's doing great.
Oh, nice.
You have a lot of those original photos in this auction too, don't you, Bill?
Oh, yeah. And we're going to have a lot more. One guy who they bought this entire several different famous photographers' collections. So you're going to be seeing a lot more of those in the next few hours.
Wow, very good. Well, we have a bunch of callers on hold, so let's get right to them. We're giving away a box of 2017 Topps Allen and Ginter baseball at the end of the show, so let's see what people have. We've got Kyle from Lake Villa on the line. What do you have, Kyle?
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Good. So I have a limited lithograph by an artist named Angelo Marino. It's called Michael Returns. So it's from right around the time when Michael Jordan unretired. It's numbered to 5,000. Mine is 282, and mine is signed by Angelo Marino and actually Michael Jordan. So I found them online, you know, the bad lithographs, but none of them I've seen that are actually signed by Michael.
Huh. Have you seen a lithograph like that or any type of lithographs, Bill, that are signed by Jordan and the artist, or any idea what that might sell for?
Well, I think if you looked at our website, I know we have sold Angelo Marino's artwork before. I don't know if we've sold a, a Jordan and whether it was signed or not, but no, he was I don't know if he's still producing stuff, but he's a very popular artist.
Yeah, so would you suggest that that would be something for one of your auctions then that you'd want to try if he decided, if Kyle wanted to sell it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, it could bring several thousands of dollars for sure.
And it would just have to be authenticated that the signatures are real before they could auction it.
Yep, but I have most of those things that we've seen are definitely good. But yeah, if he wants to bring that by your store one day, that'd be a great item.
Is it framed, Kyle? How big is it?
Yeah, it's framed. It's about, let's see, I'd say 3x5, something like that. It's pretty large. I actually got it as a Christmas present back in the 90s. Got it from a store in Schaumburg called Field of Dreams. So
Very nice.
Do have a certificate of authenticity with it as well.
Okay. Bill, you would still probably have to get JSA or
I'm sure you,
PSA right. DNA to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's already got one from them.
Yeah, okay, very good. Next on the line, we have Ann from Northfield. What's new, Ann? What do you have?
Good morning. I have some of my son's old memorabilia that he does not want from the 80s. I've got something that we must have bought him, a Nelly Fox. It's like a 22-inch, I believe it would be a souvenir bat, and it says Louisville Slugger, and then under that it has 25, and it's the H and B on there, and it's in gold. It has Nelly Fox at the bottom of the bat. I don't know if this is something I should donate or if this is something that might be worth
money. I don't know how you like to donate things, but I mean, there's going to be some value to that with it being a Nelly Fox stamped name bat, but it's a smaller souvenir bat. I mean, without knowing any more info on it, I would think if I had that at Triple Crown, it would have to be at least a $100 bat just because it sounds cool, but I'd have to find out more info. Bill, off the top of your head, you probably don't know where that one came from, do you?
No, you're right. We need a little bit more information. Or it could have been like for Nelly Fox Bat Day or something.
Yeah, could be. So it does sound neat, Ann, and it will have some value to it. It's just we'd have to figure out how much.
Okay, and can I ask you one other question
real
quick? I bet he had a bunch of T-shirts. He had an Andre Dawson, everything. But the one that sticks out to me is he's got a Chicago one, and it says, "There's no place like Wrigley Fields," and at the bottom it says, "And let there be light." So this is from 88, so this is when they started putting lights in the field.
Yeah, the T-shirts wouldn't be worth much, though. That's something that you know, a lot of people would hang on to, but just a T-shirt, typically there's not going to be a lot of value to that. Boy, we got a lot of calls here, Vince. This extra half hour,
absolutely.
All of a sudden, it was like Christmas.
And we appreciate every one of them.
We really do appreciate all the phone calls. And we've got John from Naperville on the line. What do you have there, John?
Hey, good morning, guys. Several years ago, my mom found at a garage sale, actually, a Brian Piccolo autograph program from a Porter County School Board award ceremony, and I had it PSA DNA authenticated, and I have no idea what it's worth.
What is it? Just on a piece of paper, a cut signature? Is it on a card?
No, it's on the program itself on the front of it.
Oh, on a program.
Speaker.
Okay. Well, typically a Piccolo autograph will go for at least $500, but on a program, Bill Huggins, what do you think?
I mean, depending on how nice and how strong the signature is and how displayable it is, 500 to 1,000, and who knows, maybe even a little bit more, depending on how unique this thing is, it's certainly not out of the question.
Yeah, he's got a cool signature in that movie, really made him. I think because of the movie, that story, it's just kept him collectible through the years. So it's really, it was a good movie and a good story, without a doubt. Okay, next on the line, let's see who's been waiting the longest. I'm like trying to get to the bottom of the list here. I think we've got Ken from Chicago. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Good morning. Doing good, you guys. What I have is a 2005 snapshot taken in a digital camera that I printed off. It's of Paul Konerko's Grand Slam as it's leaving the bat, taken from about the 200 level. And then I got him the autograph just at one of those typical conventions, which I had more than one picture because, you know, digital camera, I just printed it off at home. But that's what I got.
So was Pauly like, ooh, this is cool? Or what did he say when he signed it?
He was a little bit of in a rush at the time. He thought it was kind of cool. I mean, like, the way it's leaving the bat, dude, like, the ball looks like it's, you know, half the length of the picture.
Yeah.
Just because it's clearly in motion. So that's the part I found most cool about it.
You know, it sounds nice. I without seeing it, I'm thinking it's got to be at least $50 to $75. But it sounds cool. If you can somehow get me a picture of it, tweet a picture or email me a picture, and you know, I would know better. But I'm thinking $50 to $75 for something like that. Pauly stuff really doesn't sell for a ton. You would think he might be worth a little more than he is, but at this point, doesn't sell for a ton. But any of the guys on the 2005 White Sox long term will always have value, similar to how they do any of the Cubs from 2016. No matter where they end up, there will always be guys trying to collect the World Series Cub guys, and same thing for 2005 White Sox. Okay, next on the line, we have Brian from Crete. What's new, Brian? What do you have?
Good morning. I got to say, first of all, I'm not an avid collector myself, but there was an old gentleman in my neighborhood that I took good care of and took care of the yard and everything like that. So when he passed, I was given quite a bit of sports memorabilia from him.
Wow.
But one that stood out to me, having very little knowledge, but just the way it was taken care of, I thought was special. It was it's a 1955 Roberto Clemente number 164 rookie card, and it's graded a PSA 6.
Ooh, wow.
There's a sticker on the top.
Now, that's a nice gift you got there. Let's see, a PSA 6. Here's one that ended in an auction this year for $3,600. So, you know, that gives you a good idea. Yeah, six is a, you know, if somebody's looking to collect and they want nice cards, but they don't want to or can't afford what some of the nines and tens go for, you can get some really nice looking cards that are sixes and make a really good collection.
That'd be a great card for one of our auctions.
Oh, that'd be a good in Huggins and Scott. Who knows? The vintage rookie cards, it's just hot right now. You never know what it would.
I probably have, I would say, 150 to 160 different cards. I'd say most of them are, maybe half of them are graded and have, you know, a PSA grade. But this one, I could just tell it was kind of set apart from the others, had kind of a special case, so I knew that was kind of important to him, so I figured that had some value. I didn't think anything in that range.
Yeah, so are they all vintage cards, like 50s, 60s, 70s, or that are graded?
The latest card that I saw was 72. I can't remember the player's name offhand, but I think my best bet would probably bring the whole collection into somewhere and let the professionals look through it, because I'm kind of overwhelmed.
Well, you can bring it to Triple Crown in Naperville, or Bill Huggins will be at the National Sports Collectors Convention Wednesday through Sunday this week, if you want to take it and show it to him there. Right, Bill?
Oh, yeah. He could either the show, or if he's near your store in Naperville, bring it into you. You can get them to us easily.
Yeah, I love to look at that stuff too. I mean, it would be fun to see. It's like, whoa, he had this, and what? I any other names? He doesn't have the Pete Rose rookie, or does he have an Aaron rookie?
The only rookies that I know that I saw for sure were the Clemente. There was a Willie Mays rookie card, but that was a PSA 3.
Okay, that's not bad.
And then the other one that stood out to me was there was a Roger Maris. It was a rookie card, but I don't believe it was Topps. It looked like it was a different name, and that was like a PSA 7.
That could be good depending on what it is. Any Mickey Mantles in the group?
There's three Mickey Mantles, but none of them are rookies. There's a Topps that's a PSA 8 that is I can't remember the year on it, but I know it's not a rookie card. It was a little bit later.
Well, you've
that
got
was the highest grade that I remember.
It's a great collection, Brian. We can bring it into Triple Crown in Naperville anytime. Just give me a call first. Make sure I'm there. I'm there 6 days a week, but call on a day. Usually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays are really good for in the early afternoon for checking stuff like that out. But I'd love to see it. And then any that you want to send to auction, we can send them in.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to give them to somebody that I appreciate them. You know, they're just going to collect dust in my house. So
okay.
I would prefer to have them in good hands. So.
And it would be in the best hands because then they'd auction them for you, and they've got so many people checking out their stuff. That boy, that'd be fun, Bill, to see what that stuff would go for then.
Oh, yeah. No, he sounds like he's got some home runs there.
That's for sure. Okay, next on the line, we have Jim from Downers Grove. What do you have there, Jim?
Morning. I have a handout from Stan Musial Day, or maybe they dedicated his statue down in St. Louis. It's a little heavier stock program, almost like you know, like the Manila Folder kind of stock, and he autographed it.
That's cool. So what is it from?
It was a handout at one of the St. Louis, maybe when they dedicated the statue. It has all of his stats on it. It's got his pictures, all of his stats, like I think it was either Stan Musial Day. It was given to a guy from Stan Musial. He gave it to him.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking 50 to 75, but does that particular item make it more, Bill Huggins?
I'm not really sure exactly what the item is, but it has the potential to be a couple of $100 for sure if it's nice and clean and in good shape. And I mean, Stan Musial had such a gorgeous signature that all of his stuff sells real well.
Yeah, he really did. He was supposedly such a great guy,
he
too.
He was, yeah.
You know, it's kind of almost too bad sometimes a great player like that was nice and signed things. You would think their stuff would sell for more than it does, but when it's supply and demand and the more things that are out there. But he was one of the all-time greats, just an absolute great hitter.
I met him and his wife was amazing. She was just so nice and so interested in who I was and, you know, just amazing.
Wasn't that the first year you set up your ERC delivery and you met him at a Cubs game?
We picked up the game tapes for Wrigley, the Cubs and the White Sox and had to ship them out of the airport, so I met her in the players' lounge as I was waiting for the game to be over. So really
that's
nice
a great
lady.
Story.
Then she introduced me to her husband, Stan, and I was like, oh, my God. And she said, this is Vince Clemente, and he's like, any relation? I'm like, no, but I get that a lot, you know. But
wow, very
great
neat.
Memories.
Greg from Wheaton is on the line. What do you have, Greg?
I have a 1984 Bears preseason game against the Buffalo Bills. We knew Kurt Becker's family.
Oh, yeah. And they were from Aurora, weren't they?
Yeah, and his high school coach gave us some tickets. So we went down there into the players' locker room, and I have probably 90% of the team signed on their pictures in that program I had from the game. I was all 12 years old. I didn't even know who was signing it at the time.
Okay, so it's the 84 Bears?
Well, it's the 85 Super Bowl team. This was the preseason game they played against the Bills.
Is Walter signed?
Yeah, but he signed a WP, I think. It was what he was doing when he had a lot of kids signing for him. He didn't sign, I think it says WP34 on there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it does have everybody else. I mean, it has Singletary, it has McMahon, it has Willie Gault. Half of them signed on their pictures, but then, like, Dan Hampton signed on top of William Perry's picture because they're all goofing on each other.
Well, I would think it's got to be at least a couple $100 without seeing it, but I would think at least a couple hundred on that one. And Bill Huggins, I don't remember ever seeing a WP signature by Walter. Have you seen those come through?
Yeah, gosh, no, I don't remember seeing one of those either. He was always one I thought to spell out a lot of letters in his name.
Yeah.
So maybe as he was saying, he was trying to rush through a bunch of autographs for people, so.
Yeah, and just rip that on there like that. Well, I want to read off a few more items that are in the Huggins and Scott auction. The bidding has begun already if you go to HugginsandScott.com. Speaking of grading of cards and what a value can mean with a high grade, here's a 1975 Topps Robin Yount rookie that has a PSA 10 grade. Only one of five that have that PSA 10 grade. That was at $7,500 when I checked this morning. It might be higher already. I don't know. The sky's the limit on that one, isn't it, Bill?
Oh, yeah. No, we just got that in very late. And I think we, like you were just saying, I think there's only been five that have gotten 10. So, and I don't know when the last one sold. It was a while ago.
Yeah. There's a Babe Ruth pencil cut signature is at $1,200. The Ron Santos signed game used bat has a bid at, let's see, that's at, oh, $900. So we're set to go here. Okay, it's time to do the drawing.
Okay, this week's winner is going to be Eddie from Lake Zurich. So, Eddie, email me your address to vince@arcdelivery.com. I will set up free delivery to your home free of charge.
All right, very good. Now, don't forget to check out HugginsAndScott.com. The bidding is available now. You can bid on their items. Bidding goes till August 3rd. And then I'm at Triple Crown in Naperville 6 days a week. Give me a call if you have something that might be valuable. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, everybody.